The best weapon against an enemy is another enemy. Friedrich Nietzsche. 1. Few people presume to whisper into the ears of presidents. Fewer still are duty-bound to do precisely that. Ludmila Kravchuk sat with practiced calm in a straight-backed Louis XV chair. She wore a heavy skirt that even when seated fell demurely below her dimpled knees. Her shapeless blouse was cast in neutral beige, not by chance blending seamlessly into the curtained backdrop. Her earrings were modest, small cultured pearls in a gold claw setting. Her only other accessory of note was an ordinary wristwatch. This shifted above the cuff on her right wrist. It was conceivable she might be asked the time, but to be seen checking it of her own accord would be a grievous faux pas. Ever so discreetly, Ludmila reached down and slipped a finger into the heel of her right shoe. Sensible flats, battleship gray, the shoes had been furnished specifically for this occasion, chosen so as to not clash with anything worn by the two main actors of today's show. Unfortunately, the shoes proved to be a size too small. No doubt she would be rewarded with a blister by the end of the day. Ludmila would be situated at President Petrov's right shoulder, her chair perfectly placed in the staged meeting area. The two larger and more comfortable sitting chairs were situated at a perfectly diplomatic slant, the armrests canted toward one another at a 30-degree angle. Anything less might appear aloof. Anything more, confrontational. This would be President Petrov's first summit with the newly elected Iranian President Ahmed Rahmani, and it was not to be mishandled. Or as the adage went in diplomatic circles, if everyone does their job, a completely forgettable event. As if to keep the world off balance, the meeting was taking place in Damascus. The Syrian regime was desperate to put the war behind it, and playing neutral host to its two greatest benefactors, or co-conspirators, some might say, was a baby step back onto the world stage. In a notable snub, however, the Syrian president would not take part. He had been left behind near a tray of scones at the breakfast table while the two principals pursued the world's real business. They were presently standing at the head of the meeting room, the presidents of Russia and Iran, posing and smiling for a band of official photographers, three Russian, one Iranian, who were capturing a series of wooden smiles and handshakes to be beamed over newswires later that day. Under a backdrop of whirring and clicking, the two men approached the upholstered chairs with a decorum that would have sufficed in any house of worship. Once comfortably seated, there were more handshakes and strobes until, all at once, the presidential smiles blanked like a pair of lights being switched off. The photographers took their cue and were ushered from the room. Next to go were two small contingents of support staff, followed at the end by the respective security details. Two clusters of serious men, one Slavic, the other Persian, who eyed one another with that mix of suspicion and bravado invariably reared into the type. When the great double doors finally closed, a disconcerting silence fell across the room. Ludmila took a deep breath. The meeting today would be among the most unusual between heads of state, a pure one-on-one, no whispering advisors or busy stenographers. Had the two men shared a language, even in the most rudimentary sense, Ludmila was certain that she and her Iranian counterpart would not be in attendance. As it was, the specter of misunderstanding demanded their inclusion. Her eyes connected briefly with those of the attractive young Persian woman seated to the left of the Iranian president. Ludmila thought she looked nervous. There had been no words between them since arriving in the room, although they'd met earlier at the hotel, as interpreters often did, to establish a few ground rules. Her name was Sofia Aryan, and she had admitted tautly to Ludmila that she was nervous about the meeting. This was but her second occasion interpreting for the new Iranian president. Ludmila harbored no such insecurities. She had studied Mideast languages at the prestigious Lamanos.